Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future would bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because, of course, we have with us today Myrna Culbraith. And Myrna is one of my favorite guests. She is the woman who designed the Phonopoly games, which we carry, and she had originally come up with a phonics game, and then now she's created Phonopoly, which is a fun game, but in the process you learn how to think and read and spell phonetically. And this is such a big advantage for a child, to be able to spell phonetically and then to be able to think phonetically, and for their brains to move to work as they're supposed to, instead of in the dumbed down way that they are today, where intentionally they have kept our children from learning the important things in life. Now, this is one reason why we are so intent upon advising our listeners to get their children out of government schools. Your children don't stand a chance there. You will find that their attitudes will begin to change, their attitude towards God and family and country. And the only way you're going to be able to counter the government schools is not to try to get involved and change them, because you're not going to do it. And you can go down and you can talk to them all you want to, and there may be some nice teachers there, but there's some teachers that have an agenda, and they're going to, of course, destroy their faith in God, because that's the key to everything. And then, of course, once they've done that, they can destroy their faith in you. So, but one of the things that you need for any child is the ability to be able to read phonetically. And now, Myrna, you've been at this for, 10 or 15 years, or a little bit longer?
Yeah, even more.
All right.
And I'll tell you, it's interesting, Dr. Stan. For example, there's a real hot zinger that I want to hang on you in a minute of what they're doing instead of teaching reading. But meanwhile, there's also a study that's just come out, and a lot of parents are probably not aware of what underlies this study, but what it's saying is that you can only get federal funds or even other funds for helping kids in school that are having trouble with reading. You can only get them if the kid both has a high IQ and then low reading scores, so that there's a gap between his IQ and his reading scores. If there's no gap, in other words, if he has an ordinary IQ or an average IQ or a little below average or whatnot, that is measured by the IQ tests, which are, of course, also affected by reading. But if he has just an ordinary IQ, he can't get help.
All right. Now, of course, what sort of help are they going to offer, though? Is this school?
Well, that's the second thing. Most of the help is not any good either, because it's based on the same thing that got them in trouble in the first place. And what got them in trouble, of course, is the whole word or whole language method of teaching reading, which is far more even than just a bad method. It's also a politically aimed method. It's aimed basically at changing kids thinking in the schools. As a matter of fact, they explicitly declare that in their literature. They say, well, it's not just enough to teach reading, we've got to teach kids, well, here's a little quote from a whole language source. It says we have to teach kids, one second, let me look at this, they have to learn that people with first of all, that there's a lot of racism and injustice in the United States, and that there's systematic bias against women and racism, and it only favors people who are white, male, middle class in America, and so forth. And then they say whole language acts to create the conditions for a more just and democratic society. Democratic read socialism, in effect.
Well, I think that people have to understand that a whole language learning of education deprives the child of the proper function of the brain. Could you explain to our listeners how the brain perceives whole language approach in contrast to the phonics approach? Because that's so important. People have to understand that what is happening is an intentional effort to alter the brain function. And boy, it sure works with a lot of these kids.
Well,
Go ahead.
It does, and it makes people feel bad. It probably is responsible for what's being called attention deficit disorder. What really is happening is they're trying to teach reading as if English were Chinese, as if you had to memorize each separate word as if it were a picture. But of course, it's not a picture because we luckily have an alphabet, and we can break it down and we can sound it out, provided anybody would ever teach us how to do that. And that's how the brain is really set up to handle this. It's set up to handle speech. Reading is a late addition to the development of the brain. And the brain has got the whole speech thing worked out and, in fact, has sort of pre-wiring for learning speech. But it doesn't have pre-wiring for learning reading, except if you turn the words into speech. Then it can handle them very nicely, thank you, with the language center of the brain, and that's what an alphabet is for, is to make a letter stand for a sound that we say when we talk, and then you just make each sound one after another in a word, you turn it into a spoken word, wham, you know how to handle the spoken word, you're in business. And kids already come to school knowing a whole lot of spoken words. In fact, one study shows they know 24,000 spoken words as six-year-old children. That's enough words to read Shakespeare if you give them the key to the alphabet and the key of the sounds, which is phonics, which is, of course, what we do in Phonopoly or Phonicsopoly, or the phonics game earlier and so forth. And if you give that, it's simple. But if you don't, there are 1 million words in the English language. Now, never mind Chinese. Chinese has a few thousand different words, and even there, it's almost hopelessly difficult to memorize those words as visual symbols. But at least a few thousand you might sooner or later manage, and in fact the Chinese do one way or another, although it's difficult. And they sometimes have a reduced newspaper that you only have to memorize a couple thousand words, and the next one you have to memorize 5,000. But that's at least somewhere in manageable limits. But 1 million words, completely hopeless. And not only that, but it probably sends it to the picture half of the brain, to the pattern recognition half.
All right, and then when we get back,
that's the wrong half.
When we get back, I will want to sort of explore that, because the brain is designed, it's an amazing, amazing mechanism, and yet, of course, when it is misprogrammed, the results are deficient. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we want to mention that we carry this Phonopoly program that Myrna has designed, and of course it really will help children to read phonetically, to spell phonetically, and of course it's a board game. Well, I'll have Myrna tell you more about that later, but most of these programs are $300 or $400 to teach children phonics, and this one's only $139.95. It's actually 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and actually 2 books that we throw in, one by Barrett Schoes, the other by John Stormer. And both of these books will explain to you why children are having the problems they are today, why we have the lowest SAT scores, among the lowest SAT scores in the entire world. Today, you compare children in 16 nations, we're below Latvia and Lithuania. And this didn't happen by accident. So if you want to get Phonopoly, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we carry a great new homeschooling program that'll take your children from first grade all the way through high school for $199.95. And that's not a year. That's for the whole program. It's all on computer discs. You actually print these discs and the programs down off of the computer, and you put them in 3-ring folders, and the books, the textbooks, the lesson plans, even the tests are there, and the only thing you have to buy are the Saxon textbooks. It's a great program. There are 50,000 of them out across America. We're enthusiastic about it, and you get it. That's the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. You get it by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. And of course, we hope that if you have children or grandchildren in government schools, you're going to get them out right now.
book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Myrna Culbraith. We're talking about the game she's devised called Phenopoly. Now, you wonder how you can learn anything from a game, but, of course, that's the way the game is actually laid out, is so that the child will learn, and even the adult will learn. And if you're having difficulty reading or spelling or this idea of sounding out words, this is a wonderful way to do it because you learn the basic elements of the English languages, the 40 sounds, whether it's an AA or an AA, and of course the various rules that Myrna has put together, so that because all of the English language goes pretty much routinely. Now, Myrna, before we went to the break, you were talking about how the brain works and how it would appear that, you know, when you are using a whole word rather than phonics, the message is going to the wrong side of the brain?
Absolutely. And, you know, think about this. The right half of the brain, which in this case is the wrong half of the brain, is the picture recognition, pattern recognition. It's got some emotion and whatnot in there, especially picture recognition. Well, if you're trying to get people to recognize words as if it was a whole picture, that's probably where it's going. The only trouble with that is, and, you know, years ago, who knew, maybe it could have been okay, but it turns out the right half of the brain doesn't even speak English, doesn't speak language, doesn't know what a word is. So it's busy teaching reading to the half of the brain that cannot even talk. And then you wonder why anybody's got a problem. And it probably sets people up to have to try to recognize a word on the right side, go over to the left where language is, where you do talk. That was the first thing they ever learned about left brain, right brain, is language for the most part is on the left side of the brain. And for example, they found it in stroke victims. A victim could have a stroke and be paralyzed on one side of the body, and he could probably still talk. If he's paralyzed on the other side of the body, he probably couldn't talk. Eventually, they found out the left side of the brain hooked up to the right side of the body. If you had a stroke on the left side where the language is, you probably couldn't talk. So that's how they finally figured out there was some difference between the left half of the brain and the right. You know, who knew? Maybe they were just mirror images or whatever, but no, they're not. They're different. And so now, if you're setting people up to try to recognize a word, picture half of the brain, which doesn't understand language, doesn't know what a word is, and now you have to go across to the left side to figure out what it means, and back to the right to get the next word, and back across to figure out what it means, and back and forth, and back and forth. I mean, it even sounds like it would put you to sleep or make you crazy. And apparently it does, especially put you to sleep. A lot of people come in and they have what we now call the sleepy tired syndrome. And, you know, they may be perfectly bright and they may be able to read. You know, the phonicsopoly is not just for beginners and not just for non-readers. It'll certainly teach a beginner to read and it'll teach a non-reader to read. But the bulk of students who've come to us over the years are okay in a way. They're bright, they're functioning, they're doing okay. Some are not. Some are non-readers and we teach them and 16 hours, too. But I've had doctors, lawyers, engineers, nuclear designers, and so forth come into our face-to-face courses. And one guy I sometimes tell about was a dentist who'd gotten a law degree, passed the bar. He was all set up shop as an attorney, but he'd been a dentist. And he said, you know, I guess I could live with everything else. My spelling is lousy. My comprehension's not so hot. Don't like to read much, but the thing that's really driving me crazy is I had to get that law degree reading 5 minutes at a time and literally having to get up and walk around, pound myself on the back to try to wake up. And nighttime, I try to read, it's just completely hopeless. Daytime isn't that much better. Could you do something about this sleepy, tired stuff? Because it's killing me. And, you know, at that point, this was years ago, I had to say, gee, I don't know. But I said, you know, it'll certainly help the comprehension, the spelling, et cetera. You might as well take the weekend seminar. So he did. And he played through. You know, our Phenopoly game has basically five levels plus a couple bonus games. He played just two games. And he went home that night, and he thought, well, I better get back for the rest of the seminar with a good night's sleep. I'll just read for 5 minutes. It'll knock me right out. And because it always did. Lots of people tell me they use reading as a sleeping pill. Well, he picked up this book confidently expecting to fall asleep. Not only did he not fall asleep, he could not put the cotton-picking book down. And he wound up reading all night long, came in the next day telling this story, just looking like somebody gave him the greatest gift in the galaxy, which basically we did. And he broke it right then and there with two games. And part of what's doing that is those first couple games, we get you to break down the words one sound at a time and then put it back together. Even when you know the word, even though the words are simple at the beginning, even though you know the word, do the at that and put it back together or whatever the word is. The next game has the most important rule about vowels. Put it together one sound at a time. And one of the interesting things about the left side of the brain where the language is, where you do talk, is it likes to break something down one element at a time and then put it back together. So if you get it to doing that, it'll tell the left side of the brain, hey, you're the one that should be doing this. And that's been another part of research, which has showed that whichever half of the brain thinks it's supposed to be doing a job will grab the job and try to do it, even if it's lousy at it, and will not let it go unless you kind of bat it over the head a little bit and get it into the right groove. And that's apparently part of what these games do. I'm not even quite sure whether other methods of phonics would achieve that, but I have seen it happen repeatedly many times with our games. So it's great, even if you are the PhD or the doctor or the lawyer or the nuclear designer or whatnot, it certainly will help your spelling. But chances are, and an awful lot of people that I talk to, from talk hosts to doctors, lawyers, engineers, and whoever, say, if I start talking about the sleepy tired, they say, oh, you mean that could get rid of the sleepy tired? Because I get sleepy tired. And that's the common feedback we get. And I can't tell you how many talk hosts and others have come back later and said, oh, you know what, I got rid of my sleepy tired, and so forth. So anyway, these are the things that they can do right away, and it's a few hours, and it's, you know, it's so easy to do this. It's very easy, and it's very simple.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now, I think it's so important that people understand that phonics is the key to actually learning. And, of course, there are all sorts of studies out there that show, you know, that if you learn with the whole language method, you're going to have all sorts of problems. And yet they continue using that. Certainly here in California, Governor Davis was the education candidate. He was the candidate who was going to teach our kids to read phonetically. And he hasn't done it. And the reading scores, the only reason that anything has gone up is because they've dumbed the test down to make it look better to actually confuse and deceive the public. But the truth of the matter is that the public educational system as a whole is not using phonics, and our children are being deprived of one of the most important things that they need. Now, my understanding was that the Bush administration had come up with some sort of report, but instead of talking about phonics, they talk about something scientific. What was that report all about, the gobbledygook that they'll use rather than use the simple word phonics?
Well, sometimes they say research-based methods of teaching reading, which what they're pointing at is the National Panel on Reading report, which was commissioned by Congress. It went out and it looked at 100,000 different studies on some aspect of teaching reading. And it threw out the ones that were not scientific. It narrowed it down to the ones that were the most scientific. And it came to the bottom line conclusion, you must use phonics. It also listed a couple other things. Wouldn't hurt to teach some vocabulary. Wouldn't hurt to teach that words do have sounds in them even before you teach phonics, although you can do that at the same time. In fact, they call it phonemic awareness, which is a little fancy word for this word may have some sounds in it. and so on. So there's five or six points they list, but the bottom line main conclusion is must teach phonics. They gave a little wiggle room, unfortunately, to whole language, saying, well, it wouldn't hurt to teach a little comprehension, too, and the whole language people are using that to say, oh, you see, you've got to have a balanced approach. If you hear the word balance, you know, run screaming from the room, because what they mean is we're going to go ahead doing exactly the whole language kind of thing we always were doing, but we're going to call it a balanced approach. And even if they were mixing a little phonics into this, there's a Dr. Patrick Groff who says, he's a phonics advocate and a professor out of San Diego, and he says, you know, imagine that you had a tank of poisoned water and a tank of clean water, and you've got to mix them together for balance. That's really what it amounts to. Whole language is the fruit of the poison tree, so to speak. It really is terrible. It's brain unfriendly. It is sociologically unfriendly. I mean, it really wants to dumb people down and to convince them that the entire American system is lousy and racist and nasty and so forth. And by the way, you know, all of this is kind of all of one piece. There are nasty things going on in the schools. Here's one, Dr. Stan, I know you've been very concerned about civil liberties and so forth, and especially in the light of the September 11th attacks and other things going on. Here's an item for you. Headline of this, which just came out a couple days ago, is, I don't know if it's come across your desk yet, but headline is Spy Kids, More Than Just a Movie, Government Turning Kids into Spies. This is an investigative reporter. It says, schools trying to control the thoughts and words of students can now turn to the federal government for funds to teach kids to spy on each other.
Well, of course, they're trying to teach adults to spy on one another, and that's what this whole TIPS program is.
That's the other part. I've got that in front of me, too.
We'll get to that as soon as we get back here on Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I just want to mention a couple of things you could do if you'd like to help us. You could change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision, and you do that by calling 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. We've been very happy with our long-distance carrier with Promise Vision. We have, of course, find that they're efficient, they're cost competitive. But the biggest thing is, of course, that 15% of whatever your long distance bill is reverts back to us, and that helps us to continue doing what we are doing 5 hours a day, trying to get the information out that you're not going to get elsewhere. So if you agree with us, you'd like to help, why just call 866-448-5631, change your long distance carrier over to Promise Vision, and simply mention you heard about it here on Radio Liberty. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will be interested in getting the Miracle-2 soap products. We've certainly enjoyed having them. We use them here. We've been using them for a year. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, a lotion, and, of course, a gel. And we can make no medical claims for them because they haven't certainly been approved by the FDA for any medical purpose at all. But I know some of our listeners seem to think that it helps epigastric distress and heartburn. I know my wife uses it. And it's a lot cheaper than those exorbitant pills she was taking. And she seems to do very well with it. And many people seem to think that it's helped her rashes or, well, you just have to try the items and see if they'll help you. Again, if you'd like the introductory packet of 5 items, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America.
because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Myrna Culbreth, and of course she designed the Phenopoly game. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But, of course, we're talking about something that really will help children so that they can read. And reading is the key to everything for a child. Reading gives them the opportunity to learn about adventure and righteousness. Of course, what they read is important, too. And most of what they give them in the schools today is simply garbage. And I have really been totally offended by this. Instead of getting the great classics, instead of getting things that are much more important, they're reading all sorts of trite things that give children a sense of hopelessness. Our kids know far more about sex than they do about Shakespeare, far more about Madonna than they do about mathematics. And that, of course, reflects an organized, orchestrated effort to dumb down the children of the United States. And when you watch Jay Leno, and he does the interviews of the young people on the street, in the streets of Southern California, a lot of them don't even have any idea who's buried in Grant's tomb. I mean, that may sound absurd, but, you know, this is the problem that we're facing today. Well, Myrna, go ahead with what you were talking about when we had to go to the break.
Well, this is a pretty scary item, and it's, as you were saying, it's sort of the junior version of the TIPS program, but listen how sinister this sounds. Schools can get federal funds teaching kids to spy on each other. It says, using funds provided through the Department of Education Safe and Drug-Free Schools program, middle school students can now be taught to spy on classmates and turn them in to the local police. Now we'll catch what they'll turn them in for. The program is designed to, quote, prevent hate crimes, unquote, by reporting, quote, homophobic and racial slurs uttered by students. The program will begin in West Virginia schools this fall by order of the state attorney general, Darrell V. McGraw. He calls it the, quote, civil rights team project, but many are already voicing concern that it smacks of McCarthyism. Under the program, students will be trained to observe, monitor, and report other students based on their words and actions. The so-called civil rights teams will be specially selected and trained. Comprised of 3 students and 2 faculty advisors, the teams will report incidents of, quote, racial, ethnic, sexual, religious, and homophobic slurs. Instead of protecting civil liberties, the new Spy Kids program is a direct threat to First Amendment freedoms of religion and speech. And by the way, the Pacific Justice Institute, represented by Brad Dacus, a religious liberties legal group, said someone is going to have to be wrongly accused before the project legally can be challenged. When that happens, his group is offering to provide free legal defense for any student harmed by the project, according to Focus on the Family. Other states are in the process of putting the program into effect for the coming school year.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's why you got to get your kids out of school. I mean, nobody wants to persecute homosexuals, but if you certainly want your children to know that homosexuality is wrong, it's going to kill them. And that's why so many homosexuals are dying at such a young age. But you have to understand that there are people who are not homosexuals who are encouraging that lifestyle, and the people who have embraced the idea of eugenics and population control very rightly recognize the fact that homosexuals really don't reproduce very often. Most of them do not have families, and of course they die very young, and that is great for population control. And you say, who could be that crass and indifferent? Well, you need to read the population control literature, and they will tell you how important it is to encourage homosexuality. Who do you think puts up the money for this homosexual movement? It's not all coming from the homosexuals. From the very beginning, this has been funded by many of our great tax-exempt foundations. Well, let's go to Angel calling here from Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Angel. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I'm a first-time listener, too. I've never heard your program before.
Well, I hope you're going to become addicted and you'll be listening on a regular basis. Anyway, what can we do for you?
Well, the question I have for you is I'm fascinated with your program, with the reading program, because I've had this sleepy, tired thing for a while, but I'm a Braille reader. And I was wondering, have you had any success with Braille readers? And with there's been several types, several different schools of thought as to the way Braille should be taught. And I was wondering how you incorporate this phonics program with respect to grade 2 Braille, which is involved with lots of contractions and such. I was wondering if you had any success with that, because I was thinking of maybe taking this seminar. If you could repeat the information about the seminar. You mentioned the 16-hour seminar.
Right. Well, actually, we don't teach it face-to-face right now, but you can get the phonics opera game. And I've heard back from a number of blind people or poorly sighted people or whatnot who have had somebody either spell out the letters to them on the cards in the game, or even make little Braille bumps on the cards and the playing boards, which are flexible and thin. You could make a Braille version of it if you needed to. But whatever you did, just learning the rules, just by playing it through out loud with a sighted friend or whatnot, you would get the phonics, and that would help you a lot with reading the Braille, because the Braille is just really an alphabet, and with maybe a few variations where they might use some contractions or something, but fundamentally it's an alphabet.
So I have a sighted child who has trouble with phonics, so I could work with him with this program?
It'd be perfect. I mean, he could give you what you can't see, and you could give him what he doesn't know, because nobody knows it in the schools, about phonics, and you play through it together and you both learn a tremendous
Because
amount.
I was amazed that he went to a school, and it was a private school, and they didn't do anything with phonics. I mean, they said they did and all, but they just basically gave him a book and told him to read it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's the whole problem.
The one
right.
thing is, Mary, with this, they actually have some cassettes, and you'll actually hear words of the letters pronounced, and then the very sounds, because it's a matter of sounding out words, sounding out phrases, sounding out parts of a word, and then putting that word together. And I'll tell you, it's really sort of fun. Anyway, if you'd like more information, you can give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-544-8927. Now, we do not have, cards with Braille on them, although people could certainly make them if they
right.
wanted to.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. And let's go to Mary calling from Southern California. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you're here in the local coastal area, or if you're out across the world, 1-831-464-8295. But Mary, did you have a question or comment?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Stan. I've been waiting for Myrna to come back on because I want to ask her a question about the proper way to read. I find that I can't read as fast as I would like because I always say the word in my mind. And is it possible not to do that, just to look at the word and, because you can't say that as quickly as you can see it.
Well, you will find some speed reading systems will say to you, oh, don't say the word in your mind and just take it in at a glance and so forth. I don't think that that's very true. I mean, they're within limits. You can probably increase your reading speed up to the top speed at which you can kind of recognize the words and say them quickly in your mind. Beyond that, I'm not sure that people are really getting comprehension. They're probably skipping. Years ago, one of the leading speed reading outfits wanted to hire me to go work for them after I had developed a speed reading method, which I eventually stopped teaching because I didn't think it was delivering, or any speed reading program was delivering quite what it was cracked up to do. And meanwhile, before I fully had arrived at that conclusion, they wanted to hire me to develop programs for them, and I said, well, I will if I can see that your speed reading program works. So I took it. I hadn't really been able to practice with mine because I made it the tests and whatnot. So I took their program. I went through it. I practiced as they recommended, sort of waving your hand over the page, et cetera, up to, very high speed, 20,000 words a minute or something like that. However, I knew that I wasn't reading. I was scanning. I was getting a word here and there. And you know, I could usually do 80 or 90% or 100% sometimes on the test, but it was mainly by test-taking and catching a few words here and there. And finally, I did a whole little novel that they then had a test on, and I got 90% on the test, but the question I missed revealed to me, if I didn't already know it, which I did, that I didn't get anything, basically, out of that reading. And, you know, I was always a good reader by phonics, so I don't think that's really a true picture of what you should do. I think you should just, A, what we do hear back is people who get phonicsopoly and use it, even when they're pretty good readers, very often come back and say, you know what, I found I was covering two or three times as much when I read. I didn't feel rushed, I didn't feel harried, I wasn't just scanning, but I covered an awful lot more ground, I felt a lot better doing it. So I would try more along those lines than to suppress saying it out loud to yourself. The speech center really is involved in this. I mean, we really are set up to speak, but not just to read. And you know, if just scanning it and not saying the words were successful, it would be easy to learn hieroglyphics and speed read hieroglyphics. But in fact, it took 20 years in a temple school to even partly learn to read and write hieroglyphics. And they've tried to go back to, in effect, teaching English as if it were hieroglyphics.
Okay.
So I wouldn't quite think along those lines.
Thanks so much, because that confirms what I felt. I realized that when I didn't say it, I was missing stuff. And I think you're right, your comprehension is not as good. But I just wanted to find that out.
Absolutely. You know, it's a worthwhile question. But my view of it would be just kind of do what you're doing, except if you want to do it even a little better, you might try a phonicsopoly.
Well, I did buy it, so thanks.
Very good.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Thanks for the question.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, we'll let Mary go if you're out there in the listening audience. Why, give us a call at 464-8295 or at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And of course, we're really talking about, you know, how to train a child so that they will be able to read through their life. And I really think that one of the most important things that people will get from this is the ability to spell. Doesn't this tremendously increase spelling?
Oh, hugely. I mean, the only people who ever get to be any good at spelling are people who learn to read by phonics. I've never seen anybody that said, oh, yes, I learned by sight reading or I learned by whole language, and yeah, I'm a terrific speller. Nearly everybody says, oh, I'm a lousy speller, I don't know what to do about it. And then, however, if they will go through phonicsopoly and play right through it. By the way, one of the bonus games of phonicsopoly is called Spellbinders, but in fact the whole thing is the underpinnings of the English language for spelling. And there are just a handful of rules that really help for spelling, plus the habit and the ability to see each and every letter and sound that's in there and to know, well, this silent letter is here because it needs to make this vowel say its name. And if it weren't there, the vowel would not say its name. It would say ah instead of a or f instead of e. So we need this silent vowel. And if you know why, then you can spell.
All right, we'll be right back here in just a moment with Myrna Culbraith, but this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty really is listener-supported, and if you believe what we're doing is important, if you believe that there is a struggle on for the survival of America, which I do, if you believe we are moving towards an authoritarian society in the name of fighting terrorism, and that the effort now, they're talking about relocation camps, they're talking about doing away with the Posse Comitatus law so they can use the American military against the American population. They're talking about setting up these informant programs and American spying on American. And if you believe we're really trying to fight terrorism, why haven't they sealed our borders? Why are we still bringing in terrorists from other countries? Why is it that, you know, they don't want us to have armed pilots on our planes, but the president has armed people on his planes, he just doesn't want them on our planes? This whole thing is as phony as a $3 bill, and if you doubt that, you need to get the book Dollars for Terror, which is available through our ministry, or the Dollars for Terror special, that will go into who's been funding this whole thing for the last, really, 10 or 15 years. Who funded this whole Islamic terrorist movement? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're concerned about your future, your family, your freedom, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because quite frankly, we need your help. We need your continued help and your support so that we can expand what we're doing. So again, the number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or more, and you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter and haven't gotten one before, remember the number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Myrna Culperaith. We're talking about the game that she developed. It's a board game that's played like Monopoly, but a lot more fun and, of course, more important. It's going to teach your children and going to teach you, if you have any problems with spelling or pronunciation, how to read and think and function from a phonetic point of view. And, of course, if you want to get a Monopoly game, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment for Myrna, our telephone number here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295, out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295, or out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And Myrna, of course, you've been doing this for a long time. The Phonicsopoly really, I think, has helped. I know many of the people we've sent the games to have been very appreciative and come back and told us how much they've actually benefited for it. Now, is there any change in the public schools as far as this whole word, or are they just wedded to this concept? And, you know, in fact, I've heard that sometimes teachers who try to teach phonics can get into real problems with the educational establishment.
Well, there is a huge trend out there that is very entrenched, that really wants the whole language, that really are politically and ideologically wedded to it. There are also a lot of teachers who have just been taught to teach it, and they really don't know much better. But if there is a teacher within sound of our voice, and you are not using Phonicsopoly, and you haven't gone through it and learned the stuff yourself, you're doing a huge disservice to your students. I don't care what you were taught in teacher's college. If you are an honest and decent teacher, and you're in any kind of classroom, and I mean right up through the doors of high school and college, you must get this, educate yourself, then turn around and educate your students, and you will save their lives and their futures, and you can do it in a few hours' time. No matter how much you are looked in on by your supervisors, close the door and play Phonicsopoly for an hour or two. Call it enrichment, call it whatever you want to call it. Just close the door and teach this to your kids. Because otherwise, you're really doing a huge disservice. And if you're a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or whoever, and you have anybody anywhere in your family that's a kid or a teenager or a college student, just grab them and sit down and play the four or five basic levels of Phonicsopoly. At that point, you'd be happy to also play the bonus game, which is even everything you always wanted to say but were afraid to pronounce. You know, even foreign phrases, is it?
Okay, and so you'll actually teach them the foreign phrases, but of course there's rules for everything, and I think that's what's so important for people to understand, is that there are standard rules for the English language, which nobody teaches you.
That's
and
right.
Of course, if you don't know those rules, you can't understand why a word would be spelled the way that it is. And yet, almost everything is logical, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and it turns out, you know, people think English is so strange and so irregular and has so many words that break the rules. No, it really doesn't. It turns out the leading expert on this concluded that 97% of all English words are perfectly regular by all the rules of phonics, provided you happen to know the rules of phonics, which, of course, most people don't. But also, maybe 3% of words have something a little bit odd, and it's usually just one letter that's a little silent or that isn't quite the sound you would expect. And maybe there are 10 other letters in the word, and they all go by the sounds and the rules that you would expect. So even there, you've got it down to, you know, 10% of 3% or something that is actually a little bit odd. And those, it turns out, every study shows, if you learn phonics, even less phonics than we teach in phonicsopoly, if you learn just some of the basic phonics, your brain will just put all the rest of it together and won't even hiccup if it sees a word that is a little bit off. And if you know, if you pronounce the word slightly wrong, but reasonably by phonics, the next time you hear it in conversation, your brain will light up and say, oh, you know what, that must have been the one that I pronounced so-and-so, except maybe that's a short A instead of a long A, or that A should say its name, and so forth. And right away, you've got that into the system, too. And even as you read, your brain is noticing how things are spelled. And the new brain scan research shows the brain reads one sound at a time when it reads successfully, like our caller who asked, you actually have to say the word to yourself. Matter of fact, you do. And the other aspect of that answer is, yes, the brain scan research shows if you're reading successfully, you're reading one sound at a time very quickly, but you're reading it. You're reading it by turning it into spoken language is what you're really doing. Now, as to whether the schools are doing anything, like the other caller said, a lot of times the school will tell you, oh, yes, we teach phonics. They really don't. At the most, they teach a smattering, sometimes not even that. And so, and even private schools and even religious schools, used to be you could count on a Catholic school maybe or a Protestant religious school to teach phonics. Not really anymore because the teachers have been educated in the same wrong educational mill. And by the way, even when schools try to teach phonics, there was just an LA Times article a couple days ago saying that in the LA Unified School District, they're trying to rescue 35,000 junior high school students, middle school students, who can't read. They're in the bottom fifth of scorers on the test. Matter of fact, they're only half of the bottom fifth. The other half somehow or other passed some other third grade level exam. Imagine they're in middle school and they're okay if they can pass a third grade, which is already a dumbed down third grade level. But meanwhile, so half of them were eliminated from this program because they were unfortunate enough to pass the third grade test. But the half that are left is 35,000 kids, and they're putting them through a program that is more or less phonics oriented, but it's a very long drawn out program. I happen to know something about the program. It takes about 3 years. And, you know, 3 years is still better than no phonics at all, but it's a very long drawn out program. Imagine if you could do that playing four or five games around the table three or four nights.
Well, what are you talking, maybe 16, 20 hours that you can really begin to reprogram the mind?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you reprogram a huge chunk of it right in the very first hour with the first level of the game. Then another big chunk, the second level. And that was all that dentist got before he was able to read all night long for the first time in his life. And then the third one is things that most bright adults never even heard of, including most teachers, but they're very simple ones. Somebody will bother to explain them. And by the fourth one, you're doing five or six syllable words, even if you're a five-year-old kid, and you're in business, really. There's a fourth level, but it's simple. And then there's a spelling level, but that's simple, too. And even something deals with words that break the rules a little bit. And whammo, there you are, and you've got the whole logic behind the English language. You never broke a sweat. It was fun while you did it. And you go from zero to 90 miles an hour in just three or four levels of playing a board game.
Well, you know, I think the most amazing thing about this is that most people don't understand the various sounds of the vowels. and sometimes it's an AA, and sometimes it's an RA. Unless you know which one it's going to be, and it has to do with the presence of other vowels, and all of these rules are laid out, and rules that a lot of people just don't know.
No, and you know, they never were, it's not that they don't know them because they're dumb or because they're not paying attention or anything. It's they were never presented in most schools. I mean, imagine if they expected you to know advanced algebra, but they never even started to teach you that a letter could stand for a number in algebra, and they never gave you any rule, they never gave you any, you don't know what an equal sign meant, etc. Imagine even that you were trying to do arithmetic, but instead of teaching you a few adding combinations, and here's how you line up the problem, and you start over here and you add this column first, and if that adds up to more than 10, you have to carry a 1 or a 2 or whatever, and they taught you a couple rules about how to add. And all of a sudden you could add any number, right? Except suppose they didn't do that. Suppose they taught you 376 plus 222 is whatever that is, memorize it. 689 plus 47 is whatever that is, memorize it, etc. And that they went on and on and on that way for a million combinations. I mean, how long would it take you to decide? You probably had dysmathia, right? And your brain wasn't any good at math. No, your brain's fine at math, but it's fine if somebody will teach you something like 2 plus 2 makes 4. If they never teach you that, boy, you could think you were an idiot, and your brain would think you were an idiot, and your brain would go crazy, and that's really what they're doing to reading. So you must take it into your own hands.
Well, we're just about out of time. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
I would say don't let yourself off the hook about this. You live in a family. Nearly every family in America has been terribly affected by this wrong reading method. You can come out of that just by playing a few board games, but you have to take it into your hand, make that call. And by the way, you know, wouldn't hurt to support Dr. Stan that way, too. You and he and we get a little bit out of this, but you get an immense bonanza by just playing through these games.
Well, thank you so very much for being with us, Myrna. It's always a pleasure. And we'll tell our listeners right now, if you'd like to get a Phenopoly game, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. It's not one game. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and then 2 books. Most of these cost, what, $300 or $400, Myrna?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The Hooked on Phonics is around $400. Even the Phonics game is up to about $350-something, and plus a bunch of shipping. And this is very... a third of the cost.
Right, which we had $139.95 plus shipping. So we hope that you'll call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Thanks so very much, Myrna.
Oh, always a pleasure to be with you, Dr. Stan. Keep fighting the good fight.
Oh, I will. Don't you worry.
No, I know.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. Well, that was Myrna Culver-Aith. And, of course, we hope that many of you will certainly want to get a phonics game. You may want to get this homeschooling program that's actually from grammar school all the way through graduation from high school for $199.95, and it's not certainly $199.95 every year. It's the whole system, 22 CDs. You have to take the material off. You give it to the children, and then, of course, the lesson plans and the tests and the other things are there. Including a encyclopedia before they went ahead and rewrote history in the 1913 Noah Dictionary before they began to change our dictionaries. America, our culture, are under attack today. We have to understand that the foundations of our freedom, the history of our nation, you're going to get it in this new educational program. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our ministers, to pray for revival, because if the American people don't turn back to God, God is going to turn his back on America forever. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
in a flash of red, just say off.